You're tuned into Revolution Rock here on CJAM 99.1 FM in the Windsor, Detroit area. I'm your host, Dave, joined by Adam. We're also syndicating across several different stations here in Canada. And we ended off a set there kind of celebrating and showing the influence of the Police with their album, their biggest album, Synchronicity.
Yeah, it's a 40th anniversary this week of the release of that album. And yeah, you know, it's a very popular release and it is a huge crossover appeal for that. Doesn't necessitate such a focus when it's such a popular record? I'd argue yes, because it's actually a very strange record in its own right, and I think you can make that same claim for so many of the Police's records. Even though it was exceedingly popular, it had some really strange arrangements on it. The band definitely peeled away their reggae influences for something that was more indebted to burgeoning synth pop, electronica, and world music in, of course, we're not gonna, you know, shy away from it, pop. This was their big pop record, and it worked. You know, say what you will about their sound on this, no matter how polished it was, it got them up the charts, and I think it created some of their most endearing songs of all time, including that last one, which is undeniably their hugest hit, but a version of it like you've never quite heard before by the Violent Femmes, their rendition of Every Breath You Take from their compilation record, Something's Wrong. And we mentioned this before, and there are conflicting statements about exactly what the song's about, but the consensus basically is, and I do believe Sting even confirmed this in an interview, it's basically a song about a stalker. So the joke is, often people would say, why do individuals play this at dances and weddings when this is such like a stalker vibe song? And yeah, it is, but it was like misappropriated and people thought it was all full of romantic sentiment, but that whole I'll be watching you is meant to be unnerving.
Yeah.
And the band was known for incorporating a lot of irony and darker subject matter in their material, which is why I like the Police so much, because their songs are very polished, very bright, and yet that hides a lot of darker material underneath. I think it's a great use of irony that a lot of people just didn't get at the time.
Yeah.
So they either disavowed them or they ended up loving the band, not realizing what was laying underneath a lot of this material.
One of my I was saying this during the break, but a lot of Sting's lyrics are very dark in contrast to the poppiness of some of the songs, and also very literate. There's actually one song, and I can't remember right now which one it is, where he name checks Nabokov. Like, that doesn't happen.
That's Don't Stand So Close to Me.
Yeah, okay. And also a big hit. So,
and then there was also, you know, We Are Spirits in the Material World. It's referencing Ghost in the Machine. Also, the album's named after it. So, yeah, and there's quite a bit of literary and philosophical aspects in this as well. Like, even a huge hit like Synchronicity 2 talked a lot about reincarnation, talked about collective consciousness. Yeah, you could argue maybe it erred on the side of pretension, but I think the band handled it with enough nuance and intelligence to avoid that. So yeah, there's a reason we're celebrating 40 years of this record. Prior to that, another cover version, again, something a little bit more rip-roaring than the original, Juliana Hatfield with her rendition of Murder by Numbers, taken off of her record, Juliana Hatfield Sings the Police, where indeed the entire record is her covering various songs throughout the band's discography. And then we heard two songs proper from the album preceding that.
Yeah, we heard Miss Gradenko, a song written by Stuart Copeland but sung by Sting. And it was usually the other way around. If he wrote it, he would sing it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they would join on the song. And then we started off with Synchronicity 1 from the album Synchronicity.
Yeah, so I would say it's well worth checking out. I mean, granted, if I never hear the band's version of Every Breath You Take ever again in my life, it will be still too often I've heard it. But I think the album does hold up, and it is a great pop rock record, and there's a reason they were considered at one point the biggest band in the world. Now, with that said, we're going to be getting away from that, and we're going to be playing some music from someone who was less recognized during his lifetime and yet still left such an impactful legacy, John McGeoch.
Yeah, Scottish guitarist. Last couple of weeks, we've been doing sets of music in the bands he was in. Magazine, Susie and the Banshees, bands he would stay in and then leave due to a lot of reasons. But he also just would always record with a lot of different bands, and he formed a couple other bands after. So we're going to start off the next set playing a band he recorded with. I think it came out in 85, but I think he actually recorded it while he was still in Magazine. A band called Visage, which was a super group at the time. It featured McGeoch and also Midge Ure of Ultravox, Rusty Egan of Rich Kids, and also Barry Adamson and Dave Formula of Magazine were also on the record. And what happened was this record was actually an unexpected hit, and they had a couple hit singles, so it was unexpected. And then,
I don't think we actually mentioned that the band's name was Visage.
Oh yeah, Visage.
Or Visage. Which was it? Was it Visage or Visage?
I don't know.
Well, however you pronounce it, yeah, they became a surprise chop-tarting band.
Yeah. And then we're going to hear something from Gen X, which after Generation kind of broke up, Tony James and Billy Idol continued with Terry Chimes of The Clash on drums. And this album called Kiss Me Deadly, which doesn't feature the song Kiss Me Deadly, has a version of Dancing With Myself and a couple other tracks. But McGeoch actually played on eight of the 10 tracks on this release. And also it featured Steve Jones of Sex Pistols and Steve New. A lot of the tracks, sometimes they would mix the guitar players and add different layers. Mm-hmm. But you can definitely hear McGeoch's playing on the song we're going to hear in this set. Also, we're going to hear another band he was in called The Armory Show, a band he tried to form on his own. And then also he was in Public Image Limited for 3 albums. We're going to hear something from one of the albums. But unfortunately, in these later bands, it kind of, while the songs are pretty good and the guitar playing is interesting, it kind of got lost in the 80s super production, and it kind of sounds like stadium rock. Maybe it was a record company thing, but anyways, he was in a lot of recordings, so we're going to start off with Visage, and then we'll continue from there. So
now, if you do want to hear anything on this edition of Revolution Rock, we do encourage you to give us a call. If you're in the Windsor area, you can dial 519-971-3630. And if you're in Detroit, you can call us toll-free at 1-855-344-2526. That's 1-855-DIXIE-JAM. That's toll-free from Detroit and around the world. So with that said, let's get to Visage here on CJAM and Revolution Rock. You are tuned in to CJAM 99.1 FM and listening to Revolution Rock. Of course, you could also be listening to us on iHeartRadio through the archive at cjam.ca or through the many stations that syndicate the program. A huge thank you to those numerous stations. I'm Adam with Dave, and we're bringing you 2 hours of rock and roll music, ending off with a set featuring the guitar work of John McGeoch, celebrating his life, his influence, by taking a look at some of the later era projects he was a part of.
Yeah, and there were more than this, but I just wanted to focus on some of the more interesting ones. Not that the others aren't interesting. There's just too much. There's too much stuff. Mm-hmm. So I just picked a selection. Ending off with Public Image Limited, this was the last band he was in for quite a while. He would still do session work. Following his time in Pill and some session work, he actually wound up becoming like a nurse, kind of like a personal care worker, mm-hmm. For some time. But he always did studio work throughout his life. Anyways, he played on 3 Pill albums and toured with them extensively. They did a lot of stadium tours, and the sound reflected a lot of that. But Seattle is actually quite a good song from this album, 1987's Happy. And a lot of the songs, although bands would bring stuff in, they kind of just made up a lot of the stuff in the studio, and also as a result of playing live.
Yeah, and I think, you know, traditionally Pill had always had that approach, no matter what the iteration was, but in this one, a lot of it was done with playing within these sort of stadium settings. Very unusual for John Lydon, of course, to have that sort of pedigree, but, you know, that's when it ended up happening. And McGeoch, certainly, I think a lot of people had higher expectations of what would happen with his engagement with that band than what occurred, but it was definitely an awkward period of Pill's career where they were struggling between being a commercially successful band and an artistically successful band, and kind of failing a little bit at being either at the time.
Yeah, there was always a bit of a balance, but Happy might be my favorite from that.